Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Small group, but that's great. That's wonderful. We had just an amazing time here last night. It was so unusually just what a blessing. I have no words, literally. We're continuing tonight on our study of Holy Moses, and we're going to be talking about the plagues tonight. I want to talk a little bit about that, and I first want to begin by saying that we were in chapter 5, and God tells Moses, I've made you like a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. And so I found this to be very interesting because God actually allowed Pharaoh to believe that Moses was kind of just like all the other gods. All of these other idols, and here's the thing about that. Pharaoh and all the Egyptians were extremely superstitious, and they feared their gods. That's why they worshiped them. I gotta make this god happy. I gotta make that god happy, because they were extremely superstitious. So now Pharaoh has a little concern because he's looking at Moses, kind of like Moses is just another idol. And God tells Moses that him and Aaron are going to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the children of Israel go. And Pharaoh is going to say no because he has a stubborn and a hard heart. But I want to mention something. God commands to let the people go. I want to say something about that. God was not asking Pharaoh to let the people go. God doesn't have to ask. God was commanding him. He said, go and tell him to let my people go. Command him to let my people go, not request that he let the people go. And he said something interesting in chapter 7, verse 2. He said, you shall speak all that I command you, all that I command you. This is to Moses. And Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Egypt out of his land. And I found this very amusing and funny because by the time that the plagues have ended, that is exactly what's going to happen. It's interesting what it takes to get us to obey God. He is going to send them out. He's going to say, get out, get out, get out, get out. And that's what God said to tell him. You tell him to send them out. And that's eventually what he did. But it took a lot to get him to that point. So I would like to say to us, wouldn't things go better for us if we did what God commanded the very first time he commanded us to do it? Most of the things God commands us to do by virtue of the word command are not a request. Would you please honor the Lord thy God? Would you please have no other gods before you? That's not how God does it. God doesn't say, would you please not commit adultery? Would you please honor your parents? He commands us to do that. And here's the thing. If we do not obey God and do not do exactly what God says, we can choose to disobey God, of course. Of course, you have that right. God is actually a pro-choice God. You get to choose. What you do not get to choose, what I do not get to choose, are the consequences of my disobedience to God. And that is where the problem comes in. And the thing is, God sent plagues. He had every right to do so. But do we have to wait until times are really, really hard? Do we have to wait until the flies and the gnats and all of the river turns to blood before we obey the commands of God? Or should we not do that the first time? And I want to begin, because we're talking about plagues, so I want to begin with the very basics. What exactly is a plague? I mean, it sounds like an ominous word, and it is, but here's what a plague is. I'm going to give you the full definition of it. A plague is an unusually large, it's not hard times or suffering. It is an unusually large-scale calamity whereby multitudes of people and animals are affected, and there is considerable loss of life. A plague can be a pestilence, which is not bugs, but a deadly disease. It is not any disease. It is a widespread and usually contagious disease. A plague can be deadly killer bees. It can be frogs. It can be lice or gnats that are completely out of control and affect the livelihood and life of multitudes of people. Now, what it is not isn't if it is a sickness or a disease. It is not an organic, just something, or a degenerative disease, things that happen in your body. You know, as you age, some of us have experienced some things changing, a little weakness here and there. That is not considered a plague. That is considered an organic illness. Not that God cannot heal, but it's an unusually large-scale calamity that, and there's considerable loss of life. So that's what a plague is. By the way, COVID falls under the definition. It fills all of the criteria to be actually called a plague. I did not exactly know that. I believed that all along. But there was considerable loss of life. It was widespread. It was highly contagious. It was unusual. So we can understand that. So the plagues were consequences of Pharaoh's disobedience. He did not have a chance to choose what the outcome would be. But I want to talk about, before we even kind of get really started, we're not going to go long tonight, but we are going to do a little bit. The first three plagues actually involved Aaron, and I thought that was kind of cool. We're going to talk about the snake thing that was really funny. I saw something, a few things different about that as I went home last week. The first three plagues involved Aaron. In the first one, the Nile turning into blood, Aaron had to take his rod and he had to strike the edge of the waters. And when he did so, this was completely supernatural, the Nile River completely turned to blood. But not only, you got to understand, what makes it extremely supernatural, it wasn't only the Nile River. Anybody who had previously collected water in bowls or in the animal troughs, or if you had a pitcher of water at home, that also turned into blood. Tell me that's not supernatural. That is supernatural. And it is a supernatural plague. And I like that the Word of God, and it is the correct translation, doesn't say he just touched the waters. It said he would strike the waters. This is God striking the people. The second one was the frogs, and Aaron was told by God to now stretch out his rod, which we know represents the cross, and I want to say something about that. At the cross, we will find either judgment or mercy, depending on whether we receive or reject Christ. And we see what Pharaoh was doing. So he stretches out his rod over the rivers, and the frogs begin to instantly populate. Supernaturally, they were everywhere. They were in bowls in people's houses as they were kneading their bread. The Bible is very specific. The Bible says they were in their rooms. They were in their bedrooms. They were everywhere, these frogs. The third one was gnats or lice. Also, Aaron was involved in this. Aaron was told once again to strike the earth with his rod, and suddenly these gnats / lice began to appear and torment all of the people and the beast of the field. The word strike is correct, as God was reproving them and striking them. And I want to say something about the magicians and the sorcerers of Egypt. Would each time they would try to recreate these things, like I can come up with some gnats. Anybody got a box of gnats at home? We can come up with some gnats. You got some lice? Gather up some lice. We're going to go into Pharaoh. We're going to do the same thing. But I want to tell you something about that. They had minimal success with this. In fact, at the point of the gnats, things got so out of control. I mean, completely out of control. The plague got so severe this time that Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. He was up in the palace, you know, ain't no gnat, you know, they got to him eventually. But here's what the magicians and the sorcerers finally said out of their mouths after this plague. They finally said, "This is the finger of God," and they did not mean their gods. They meant this is the finger of the God. They did not know him, but they were absolutely correct. But I want to say that in all of this, I still see the mercy of God. There is judgment and mercy going on at the same time. Have you ever had that in your life where there's the judgment of God? You know that you've done wrong. You know you're suffering consequences. But at the very same time, you see the mercy of God that he didn't just take you out. that think that there's some mercy there. And we see his mercy because he's doing everything to get Pharaoh's attention and to try and get these Egyptian people, these idol worshipers, to obey him, to submit to him. And often God will make us uncomfortable. And believe it or not, that's his mercy. If you are uncomfortable enough in your sin, chances are greater that you will repent of sin. Chances are greater that you will stop it and turn to God. So we're going to discuss next week the 10 plagues. There's something else that we're going to see that's super cool. We know the rod represents the cross. But again, I want to say that Aaron was used for the first three plagues. But watch this. Plague number four is a plague of flies, and I love this transition. This is where we transition. No longer is Aaron involved in striking this and striking that and causing the plagues to come forth. God has Moses start speaking it out. You start speaking it, and it's going to happen. You know, there needs to come a time in our lives when we just speak the word, when we just speak it, and it will happen. It will take place, that we recognize the authority we have through the cross. We recognize the authority we have. And Moses is interesting because he's the man who claimed he couldn't speak going way back, remember? And now all of a sudden, he's able to speak. And something I want to give a short testimony. I don't know if any of you were around, probably not, when my dad was first in ministry, possibly Tony. My dad, going way back even when I was younger, had a severe stuttering problem. It was severe. It lasted for years. My grandmother used to say, because we had asked her several times, my husband, and even since I married, did not know that part of my dad. My dad used to, he would just stutter, and my grandmother said, his mother, Grandma Bibi, said to us, she said, I think it was because in their yard, you know, my dad's two, you probably heard me tell that during a thunderstorm, my dad's two sisters and one of their child, a little boy, were hanging clothes on a metal clothesline, and they were all three struck and killed in their yard by lightning that killed all three of them at once. And my grandmother said that affected my dad, I would think, yes, in some way, but she said from that point on, he stuttered. As he grew in Christ, and as he matured and began to speak the word more and more and more as the years went by, I, as an adult, noticed there was hardly any lapse, lisp, nothing, nothing, because you become fluent in word. Let me tell you something interesting. There were times I would notice it more at home, never here. It was so cool to me, but he was, overall, I would say and claim that he was healed of that, and it was through the speaking of the word of God, reading the word of God, and through praying and pray. My dad was a man of prayer every day. If you wanted to find him, if I needed him for something, early in the mornings, he was always upstairs in his study, laying flat on his face, praying. How many times I would go up there and I would hear my name called, my sisters, my brother, my mom, all of us, the neighbors heard because they had the windows open once, and my mother said, you are praying very loudly that the neighbors will be delivered and set free. They were very mean neighbors in his favor. But he was a man of prayer. So God, here's Moses. We see him speaking. We see him speaking fluently, speaking the word, and these things coming to pass. So we're going to be talking about these plagues, and I want to tell you that when this all took place, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83, and I think that sometimes it takes us a while to mature and get to the place where God can truly use us, and for some it's earlier, for some it's later, and God tells, I hope that we're ready to obey God even now, but God tells Moses, Aaron, that Pharaoh is going to ask them to show him a miracle, and he does, and he takes the rod and casts it before Pharaoh, and it becomes a serpent. But I want to show you something that I had not seen when I was studying before. I love, and maybe some of you have, that God let Moses and Aaron practice throwing the rod and the snake handling. I love that. God, if you're going to have me handle snakes, give me a practice session. Because the first time, remember, Moses ran, which is, that's my response. You should run from snakes because they're not in the garden where they're supposed to be. If there's a snake, I need to get out of here. So God said, throw it down and it'll become a snake. But when I was studying this, I saw that in Exodus 4, chapter 2, Moses had asked, you know, what he should do if the people don't believe him. And God says at that point, throw the rod down, cast it on the ground. It becomes a snake. Moses ran. God instructed him, grab it by the tail. Wouldn't have wanted to do that, but Moses did in obedience to God. Catch it, and it became a rod in his hand. So that was session one. That was just God and Moses. You're not going to be embarrassed if I can't quite get the snake, and I really kind of scared of it when I grab it. God's just like, you can do this. And so Moses has session number one. That was snake handling practice. But there's more. In Exodus 4:30, God has Aaron. Let's try you, Aaron. You do the snake handling thing. God says, and Aaron did the snake handling thing in Exodus 30. He did all these signs, and he did them in front of the people. So Aaron, you know, Aaron gets the upgrade. He gets to practice his. Okay, here's the people. These are God's people, and this is church. Let's pretend, you know, okay, you know, Pastor Kennedy's practicing snake handling outside of church, but then, you know, God's going to tell me, okay, Pam, you can do it in the church. This is just family here. We practice, grab the snake now. It becomes a rod. So Aaron does the same thing. But then there's a third time after they do their practice session, chapter 7, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so because they are all cool now. They can do this. They got this down. And they did so as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh. He gets the honors. And before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers now and the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments. And by the way, in like manner means kind of like. That's interesting to me. Kind of like. In other words, there's a gimmick here. There's something hidden here. They had some snakes somewhere, no doubt. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. There's probably a serpent inside the rod. That's what some theologians believe. But they were able to pull this off. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And so that was where the difference was. But I want to tell you that all the snakes in our life are swallowed up by one rod, the cross of Jesus Christ. So the magicians, they could cause a problem, but they couldn't solve a problem. But did the snake seem to face Pharaoh at all? Does he care about snakes? He should, but he doesn't. And so let the plagues begin. Let the plagues begin. You can't take just an ordinary sign from God, can you? Something that will show you how God, good that God is the one. As long as you're disobedient and dishonor God, there's going to be problems. Whether they're plagues that severe, but there's going to be problems, consequences. So 14 says, so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning. And when he goes out to the water, you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned into a serpent, you take that rod in your hand, and you say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, and I might say again, saying, let my people go. Again, he commanded, God is commanding, God doesn't have to ask anything, he's not asking, he's telling, let my people go so they can serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you wouldn't listen. And I love how God says, until now, you wouldn't listen. Because the time is going to come when we will listen. Thus says the Lord, by this, you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river are going to die, and the river will stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. I have to stop and say, every time God was going to send a plague, he warned them. Pharaoh could never say, I just told you exactly what I was going to do to this river. Don't act all shocked. Don't act all like, oh my goodness, the river's turned out. No, I told you what I was going to do. And it was a very unusual plague, but I want to talk about that. Why didn't God do something else? Why did he send termites? Why did God do what he did? First of all, there were 10 plagues. There's 10 commandments, the law of God. There were 10 plagues, and this was God versus the gods of Egypt. This is Almighty God, the God of the universe, the creator, the spinner of galaxies and maker of the stars, creator of all mankind, of every beast of the field. This is God versus false dead gods, okay? Superstitious false dead gods. Who do you think is going to win this situation? But it was an unusual plague because it came. God was trying to humiliate their specific gods. And so each of these plagues came against one of the false gods. I want to tell you about the river plague turning into blood. The Egyptians worshipped the Nile River. It was their source of life. They got all their water from them. They would literally sing hymns. They call them hymns, by the way. They would sing hymns to the Nile. Like we sing worship songs to God, they would sing worship songs to the Nile River. Oh, source of life, all source of life. That was one of them, supposedly. They believed the Nile was as precious as lifeblood, that that's where their life was. And God is about to show them, because every pot, every pool, every pitcher, every keg, every bathtub, and the Nile River were turned into blood. There was literally blood everywhere. And this was against one of their gods, whose name I cannot pronounce. Nafrakia San, whatever. And so did Pharaoh repent? Did this cause him to repent? This was a seven-day plague every day. No. His heart was not moved. The Bible says his heart continued to be hard. I thought this was strange, but I see it happen today. People get bitter and they get stubborn. They just dig in their heels. No, I'm going to stand on the ground. And when confronted and told they should turn to God and repent because they're getting sicker and sicker and their life is falling apart faster and faster and their heart is growing harder and harder all along. And I've seen the spirit of Pharaoh in people even today. So what do you call a person like that who has a hard heart like that? A reprobate. God calls him a reprobate. And you don't ever want to get to the point where your heart is so hard and when you're so bitter that you get to the point where you will come against God and think there's nothing wrong with it. These kind of people, reprobates, are almost unreachable. It's a dangerous place to be in. We're going to talk about plague number two. The Egyptians worshiped frogs. They believed that these were the god of fertility. They were the gods of birth. And if you stepped on one of them, you were violating a god. And God told us clearly in the Bible, you shall have no other gods before me. God is not going to be mocked, and he is not going to allow you to worship a frog instead of him, and he be okay with it, and he not do anything, and he not say anything. Verse 8 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go. Again, this is not a suggestion. This is not asking. This is a command, and it's not optional. God is saying so that they can serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, I'm going to smite your land with frogs. I'm thinking, you're not getting this, Pharaoh. God's warning you every single time. Did you think the frogs might not come? Did you think God was not serious? But God is cool. And he's probably thinking, you know, you're probably thinking, I love frogs. But God is like, Pharaoh, you want to worship frogs? Here they come. Here they come. I mean, they're on the way. I'm going to give you more frogs than you ever have seen in your entire life. They're everywhere. So the river will bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the house of your servants, on your people, in your ovens, in your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up to you personally, Pharaoh, and your people and on all your servants. All I can say, hey, a plague is a plague. Hey, a plague is a plague. You Egyptians were warned. But I want to tell you something that is so cool about all of these plagues. And believe me when I say I have studied this extensively, because many theologians say it isn't true. But I've got the scriptures to prove it. These plagues did not affect the Israelite people directly. They did not. The reason theologians say that the first three plagues did affect them is because God didn't specifically say it at that time, but I'm going to actually show you. But God wanted to make a distinction between Israel and Egypt, and since the time of Joseph. And the frogs did begin to get Pharaoh's attention. I'm going to read to you. He called for Moses and Aaron. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, request the Lord. He didn't even know the Lord. request the Lord that he will take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go so they can sacrifice to the Lord. I see just a little bit of, I think we got a problem with a big God here. I don't know who he is, but Moses, if he sent him, you tell him to take him away. But not any repentance whatsoever. Just because you acknowledge God and agree that there might be a big God does not mean you're going to honor him or obey him or repent of your own wrongdoing. It is worth mentioning that in the beginning, if you remember, Pharaoh said, who even is this God that I should do this? So he's going to find out. God will answer the question. Exodus 5:2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. You're wrong, Pharaoh. You will let him go. You're wrong. You're wrong. He obviously did not know God. It's going to get interesting because when God answers their pleas for help and they know it's God, but they still do not answer him. Pharaoh now knows that God was behind the blood, God was in the water, that God was behind the frogs, because God is really, really serious about us not having other gods. So we see that Pharaoh has said, if Moses and Aaron will ask God to take away the frogs, then he will let the people go. How many of you believe that the enemy will keep his word? He's going to let them go now, right? No, no, and no. The enemy is a liar. Pharaoh represents the enemy. So Moses asked Pharaoh an interesting question. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor. Now, this is meant to be humorous. This is meant to be humorous. Moses says to Pharaoh, accept the honor. I'm giving you the honor of saying, when shall I intercede for you and your servants and for your people to get rid of the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only? I can put them back in the river. When I'm going to give you the honor of telling me when I should pray. And so this is funny. And so Pharaoh basically tells him, so he said in 8:10, tomorrow, tomorrow's good. Let's do it tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. So Moses is going to pray and it's going to happen just like you wanted it, Pharaoh. And you will know that there's no one like our God. And verse 11 says, and the frogs shall depart from you and from your houses, from your servants, from your people, and they shall remain in the river only. So here's the deal. Did Moses keep his word and pray? Yes. Did God do what Moses asked? Yes. Did Pharaoh keep his word and let the people go? No. Watch this. We need to pray that this will never, ever happen to us. Verse 8:15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. Sometimes when God answers our prayer and we say, oh God, please help my child. Oh God, do this for me. And God actually does it. And then because we have relief and because God has said yes to us and he's blessed us, guess what happens to us? We go right back. We go right back to it. We disobey God. You know, again, I say that the plagues were God's mercy, trying to get Pharaoh's attention. And so now we have no choice but to bring in the lice, bring in the lice, the gnats, the lice, you know. And it's a sad thing when God has to get our attention in this way. We're going to ask that the musicians come, and I want to pray, but it's a sad thing when God has to get our attention like this. Can't we just obey? Can't we just obey the commands of God? Do we have to wait until our life is miserable, until we're suffering, until the pestilence comes, and I'm not just talking to us, I'm thinking about our whole country and our whole nation. Do we have to wait until COVID to honor God? Do we have to wait until another plague comes, another pestilence comes, before we decide that we're ready to bow our knee to God? But that's what they did. These plagues were awful. I can't even understand. Can you imagine flies in your house? Can you imagine frogs in your bed? All of this kind of stuff. I guess the question is, could it happen again? Could it happen again? And how many times do we think that Moses could pray And they would just go away. Just like, okay, they're just going to go away. And God's going to say, go away. Maybe God won't take them away next time. Right? But God's mercy is he's going to let things get bad until the time that we decide we surrender to God. God, we thank you for your word tonight. And we ask, Father God, that we would not be these people that had hard hearts. I think this is the thing I'm taking away from this lesson tonight. I don't want to get to the place where I just refuse to obey your commands, where I will not do it. And I've seen that people have got to that point where they will not. You can tell them all day long that they need to be in church. You can tell them all day long they need to be tithed. They need to be loyal. They need to be faithful. You can tell people that you can't sin and get by with it, and they just seem to get more stubborn. But God, I know that the people who are here today, we don't want that to be us. We don't want to get to that dangerous point where something has to go wrong in our lives, Father God, because when our people get sick, we're going to depend on you for healing, Lord. So we want to be able to say, like the King Hezekiah said, Lord, I know that you'll heal me because you're the healer, but I've been faithful, God. I've been faithful, and I'm turning to you, not in disobedience. I don't want to have, here's the thing, I don't want to have to stop and repent before I ask God to help me. I want to have already been obedient to God. Father, we thank you for your blessing of your word. We thank you for this anointed music, Father God, that we can worship you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.